Even now, says the Lord, return to me with all your heart. This verse that begins, return to me with all your heart, continues by saying, how? With fasting, with weeping, and with mourning. Now, just to be clear, so there's no misunderstanding here, let's understand that returning to the Lord does not result in weeping. So let's just understand these words aright. We weep because we have been away from the Lord. But once we actually have returned, once we are there, then we find the source of our joy. The basic principle is that behind every no from God is a bigger yes. And so we return to the Lord today. And we do because we have wandered. Clearly, receiving ashes on our head is not a particularly joyful gesture. And if you haven't done it emotionally, at least we're symbolically saying that within ourselves, or we know that we would like to be weeping or in mourning if we had the emotional disposition to do so, because we have wandered away from the Lord. And truly, in other times during this season of Lent, you may also be called to weep and to mourn as you have greater insights into your sins and you are more aware of your wanderings. But the purpose of all this, the purpose of any weeping and mourning, is ultimately to bring you to a better place. We go through the mourning in order to have joy. And so we are mourning the ways we've wandered, and that's true for us as a people, as we do come corporately, but how do you wander? Only you can fill in that blank for yourself. But returning to the Lord can only be a good thing. It's not something that we weep about, certainly not at least with tears of sadness. And so once you've returned, then your mourning can be over. So let's not mistake. Now, I think we know this truth. What I'm saying to you should resonate as making sense. But there is a way in which we can get into a place where we feel like returning to the Lord is a killjoy task because we partake of pleasures of the world, which give a certain kind of momentary satisfaction. And we are called during the season of Lent to fast from some of those pleasures. Which begs the question then, how is fasting a return to joy? Well, because all these things that we're putting aside are simply short-term pleasures, and they never give lasting joy. In fact, they don't give any real true joy at all. At least when we have wandered from, at least if we partake of them in a sense, in a state of having wandered from the Lord. And so the promise that we have in the Lord is what will never be taken away, to have our souls anchored in what is good and true and beautiful. And so when we, these pleasures of the world, when we are taking them apart from God, when we've forgotten him, as we separate the gift from the giver, when this happens, these pleasures end up requiring more and more from us. You have to have more pleasure in order to receive that satisfaction. You have to receive more coffee, more dessert, more Netflix, more of it to scratch the itch until they burn you out and these things no longer satisfy at all. So now is the time to return to the giver of all good, the source of all joy. And so ashes help with this. Now, it can seem a little bit macabre at first, to dust, remember, O man, that from dust you came and to dust you shall return. Now, those are not joyful words. Here's how they can serve joy, is these things are a reminder that this world is not our home. So in this sense, it's healthy to think about death. In the book of Ecclesiastes, the writer, the preacher, says that it is better to be in the house of mourning than in the house of feasting. Do you get the sense of why that's true? Because when we're in the house of mourning, when we're literally mourning someone who has passed, that puts our priorities in order. We realize, what am I living for? What am I going to be remembered for? What is really worth investing in? What seeds am I planting? What will really matter at the last day? Which is ultimately, am I putting my treasures in heaven? Or am I putting my treasures where moth and rust destroy? So thinking about death is something that all the saints have done. Think of that picture of Jerome, is often pictured with a skull on his desk. Memento mori is the idea. He's known for that. But anyone who enters into true sanctity learns to think about death regularly, because this orders us in reality. And so today we have an opportunity to do this. And if you haven't done this regularly, at least we do so once a year. And so one thing also is true about saints, those who have received true sanctity, is that they've discovered deep joy, something that anchors them. They have a foretaste of heaven, and that's what gives them courage. That's what gives them boldness. That's what anchors their souls and enables them to be a source of joy for others. They anchor others because they are anchored themselves. And so if you haven't done this for a while, if you haven't thought memento mori, if you haven't remembered that, yes, one day you will return to ashes, then this can be like a major shift. It can be a shock of sorts. But this is a call, actually, to make that more a way of life so that we can put our stock in what lasts, in truly what will never be taken away. And what lasts? Your relationship with God. The relationship with the giver of all these passing things. And so he wants you, yes, to partake of these things, and he will come back to you after Lent in greater fullness, but then you'll be able to receive them with thanksgiving, in communion with the giver, and they will serve that joy, but they won't hold a candle to the source of that joy. And so God draws you in to give you more of himself. When these passing things just give less and less until there's no more to give. But when God gives you himself, there are deeper and deeper waters, more and more fulfillment, more than you could ever ask or imagine. And so in our reading that we heard from Matthew in our gospel, Matthew recounts Jesus telling us that don't make a vain display of your devotions. Why? Because he reminds us that because behind this no from God, don't make a display of your devotions, is that bigger yes, which is that God sees all that you do. He knows the silent prayer of your hearts. And how does he reward you with this? With more of his presence. And that is all you need. You don't need recognition from others. All you need is him, now and forever. Now, I just want to put a period there, but I want to continue for a moment. I could just end right here, and that's how I plan to end. But I just want to say one other thing, just to bind our prayers together as we pray for the Ukraine. This is almost kind of a coda, so to speak, on that message, which deals with our text that we have before us today. But Pope Francis appropriately has asked us to intercede for Ukraine today. And I know that's already on many of your hearts, and perhaps all of your hearts, and perhaps we're already inclined to do so. But we do so in a more intentional corporate way today. But it kind of begs the question that once you return to the Lord, how is it joy to grieve ourselves, to afflict ourselves over a conflict in the world? Well, this fits in a certain category, and I want to make this dovetail a little bit to what I've already shared today. This fits in the category of that it's hard to follow God, but it's harder not to. So truly, when you follow God, truly he will ask you to fast for others. He will ask you to mourn when you otherwise might not have. But remember, if you don't do this, the problems don't go away. So when you fast for somebody else, when you pray for somebody else, it's actually reorienting for your soul. Because otherwise you're aware of these issues and they ping you, they bother your conscience. They make you wonder, what is the resolution to this fallen world? But if you take time to fast, then you actually do something very significant about what you cannot touch yourself with your own mind. And that is a blessing, that is ordering, that actually gives, dare I say, a deeper sense of joy, peace, orientation. And let us also be aware too that what we fast for in Ukraine may not be limited to Ukraine. These are geopolitical issues that may touch us. Is it possible that we could be reaping the reward for our own sins if these things bleed out to the entire world in more significant ways that touch us very significantly? So perhaps it is time to mourn for our sins, how we've wandered, and say, God, please, relent, have mercy, show us your character. As so often throughout scriptures, those who return to him avert calamity. And so, yes, it seems hard to follow God, but it is much harder not to. Because, yes, we are in a fallen world. But the giver of all gifts has broken into this world with his Son, who endured the cross, despising its shame, so that he might give us the resurrection. So let us come to the altar sacramentally. Let us receive those ashes now, so that we can put aside what is passing, what will never satisfy, and we can return to this, what will never be taken away, the source of all joy, our help now and forever.